He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Lord, I thank you so much for you being willing to go to the cross on our behalf and to spill your blood that we might be forgiven. And Lord, I praise you that death could not hold you. And you did not see corruption, as the scriptures say. I praise you that you were raised and declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness and your resurrection from the dead. I praise you, Lord, that you are now seated at the right hand of the Father. And the scriptures say, until all of your enemies are made your footstool. And the scriptures also say, the last enemy you will conquer is death. Lord, we just thank you for this assurance that we have. I ask if anyone is here today that has not received that, has not came to you and confessed that they need a Savior, that today will be the day of salvation. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some people, when they read the Gospels, I've heard some people say, there's things that aren't right. And, you know, one gospel says two angels appeared. Another said one. One gospel says just Mary was at the tomb. Another says there were two or three Marys and a Salome. So what's right? Well, I want to tell you something. I don't have a problem with this. I worked on an ambulance for 5 years out in the field. And if any of you have ever worked in the emergency, when you get to the scene of an accident, there may be four or five witnesses, and none of them tell you the same story. That guy was speeding. No, she didn't turn her turn signal on. You'll get a different view. And in a court of law, if you had four witnesses and they all give the exact same testimony, the judge is going to throw it out. He calls it collaboration. Somebody got with these witnesses and made sure their stories were exactly the same. So I want to talk to this morning about the response to Jesus' resurrection. You remember when we talked about the triumphal entry, we talked about the perception people had of Jesus. And people today still have different perceptions of Jesus. And there's only one perception that's going to get you into heaven, that he is God the Word who became a man, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will enter the kingdom of heaven except through him. That's the Jesus I believe in. Some people say, well, he was just a great prophet. Well, if he was a great prophet, he was a liar because he claimed to be God. He claimed to be God in the flesh. The Bible says he was proclaimed to be who he claimed. Jesus validated every testimony that he gave about himself, every testimony the scriptures gave about him when he was raised from the dead. We find in Mark's version that the women go to the tomb and they're going there to finish embalming him. You do not embalm live people. That's against the law. I'm sure there's a law somewhere that says you cannot embalm live people. Okay? The reason I made that point is they were going to the tomb expecting a corpse. Jesus told them, I will rise again. I've wondered how could they have a problem with that. They saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And Jesus called him out of a tomb. Some of them saw Jesus raise Jairus' daughter and the widow's son. There's three people at least recorded says that Jesus raised from the dead. So why should they have a problem believing he rose from the dead? But they did. His women disciples went to the tomb, and on the way to the tomb they're talking, saying, how are we going to get the stone rolled back so we can finish embalming him? The Jewish ritual of embalming. They smeared these spices all over you and wrapped bandages around you that were soaked in these spices. And when they got to the tomb, they found the stone rolled away. But they didn't immediately say, praise the Lord, he's risen. They said, something's wrong. Somebody stole his body. Where did he go? And it says they saw an angel. And the angel said, I know who you're looking for, Jesus of Nazareth. He isn't here. Come in and see where he lay. Now, some people say, yeah, but some of the other Gospels say there was two angels. Well, let me break it down for you. This group of women came, and the angel said, Jesus is risen. He's not here anymore. He said, go tell his disciples and Peter. They had to throw that in there. We'll get to that in a minute. And Peter, that he's alive. But you remember what Mark said. They left the tomb in astonishment, trembling with fear, and they didn't talk to anyone. They didn't go to find the disciples. They themselves couldn't believe what they heard. Mary Magdalene goes back to the temple or the tomb by herself. Jesus had cast 7 demons out of her, and she was tore up. And one of the Gospels, I think it's in John, said she was weeping. She didn't believe he was alive. Even though an angel told her that Jesus was alive, she was weeping. And that's when Jesus came up behind her and said, woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener and said, sir, if you've carried him off, tell me where you put him, and I'll put him back in the tomb. And Jesus, all he had to say was one word. He said, Mary. And she knew that voice. And she said, Rabboni, which means master. And she wrapped her arms around his feet, and Jesus said, don't cling to me. Some of the translators wrote, don't touch me. That's not what Jesus said. The commentaries I read said, Jesus said, Mary, don't cling to me. I haven't ascended to the Father yet. So there's an explanation of why Mark says he appeared to Mary Magdalene first. Okay. Well, those women ended up going back to the tomb. Then they saw two angels. Why? Because in the law of Moses, God said the testimony of two witnesses is truth. So they go back. Now there's two angels saying, he's not here. Don't you get it? He's alive. Then the women go looking for the disciples. Meanwhile, Mary went to the disciples and she said, the Lord's gone. We don't know where he's at. This before she saw Jesus. Peter and John run to the tomb. John outruns Peter. He doesn't go in the tomb because he's a good Jew and this is a holy Passover week and he didn't want to be defiled. Peter didn't care. He just ran into the tomb. Peter already felt defiled. He had denied his Lord 3 times. And the 3rd time, the Bible says, with an oath. I heard one preacher say, Peter got so mad he cussed. That's not what the Greek says. Peter said, may God curse me if I'm lying. I don't know this guy. And to the Jews, that was supposed to be an end of dispute. He said, I swear in God's name, I don't know him. So Peter was already defiled. It goes in there and it says, they saw and believed. What'd they believe? He's not there. They believed somebody stole the body. That's all they believed. Because it said they didn't understand the scripture that he would be raised from the dead. Well, the women go back, the group, after they've seen two angels, they go back to the disciples after Mary's talked to them, and they said, the Lord's risen, we saw him. And they said, nah, just a bunch of hysterical women. We know when you're mourning, you really want to see the person you love. I've had people tell me, I saw my granddad one night under a tree. I always tell them, that ain't grandpa. You don't need to be talking to that kind of a spirit. God doesn't allow the dead to come back and talk to you. And it bothers me the Christians I've met that seek mediums and psychics because they want to talk to their dead ancestor. God said, don't do that. You're fooling with demons. And it's dangerous. And they go back and say, we saw the Lord, and they said, we don't believe it. Then it says two disciples were walking to Emmaus. That was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were depressed, and they were talking about Jesus being crucified, and said, Jesus joined them. The King James says their eyes were holden. Means closed. So they couldn't recognize him. Now the ESV said he appears in another form. But either way, they don't recognize Jesus, and he says, why are you so sad? What are you talking about? And they said, are you a stranger? Haven't you heard of Jesus of Nazareth, who went around anointed by God doing good? And they said, we thought this was the guy that was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. Then they killed him. All of our hopes went down the drain. Now he's dead. And they said, what's worse is some of the women we hang around with said they saw him alive. And it said Jesus rebuked him and said, how slow you are to believe. Actually, in English, he just said, you got some thick heads. It ain't sunk in yet, has it, guys? Christ had to suffer and die. And I love the testimony of those two men. Their eyes are finally open. They recognize this Jesus, and he leaves. But before that, it says he began with Moses, and he opened their understanding to the prophets. And Jesus stood there and told them the prophecies about the Christ dying and coming back to life like our young people do this morning. And those two guys, after he left, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us? I'd read the Bible before I was saved. I'll tell you what the difference is. When you read this word and you have the Spirit of Christ in you, your heart literally burns. I mean, you can get so into this book that you don't want to put it down. You don't want to eat. You want to eat the Word. You want to read the Word. And that's the feeling those guys described. Man, my heart was on fire when that guy talked to us. How could we not know it was Jesus? Well, they didn't believe it. They turned around, walked back, and told him, we saw the Lord. And they said, nah, you didn't see the Lord. Then the Lord showed up. It says the Lord rebuked them for their unbelief. Why? Because he had sent one woman, and then he sent at least four women. Then he sent two men, and the law said in the testimony of two witnesses it be accepted as true. And here's what? Seven witnesses? Eight witnesses that came and said, we saw Jesus, and they should have received that. But see, they saw him die. And they didn't think he could die. They didn't think he was supposed to die. So Jesus didn't fulfill what they thought he was going to do. So they said, he's dead. D-E-D, dead. I spelt that one time with my kids in Bible study, and they'd never let me forget that. Once in a while, one of my daughters would go, Dad, how do you spell dead? Shut up. I was trying to make a point, and they were teasing me. I was getting irritated because I didn't think they paid. I said, dead, D-E-D. Well, boy, I had their attention then. You know, they were giggling, and you hear how he felt dead. But Jesus was dead. They saw him die, and dead to them was dead. And what's funny is the Jews believed in the resurrection of the dead, but they just didn't think Jesus rose from the dead. You know, we can sit here today, and as we read the Scriptures, and we can say, how could they not believe that? I've never met Jesus face-to-face yet, but I believe he died, and I believe he rose from the dead. How come they couldn't believe it? Well, how come you can, Christian, read the words and find this wonderful passage that God can do these amazing things and think, I believe that, but he just doesn't do them for me? We do that all the time. Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. He didn't say not to worry. Worry is a natural thing, but when you become anxious, your anxiety takes over your life. Jesus said, don't be anxious. Well, I believe that Jesus meant what he said, but not to me. I can't help having this anxiety. My Bible says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You let it. So see, we as Christians today, there's things, we agree that the Word says it, and that this is the Word of God, but we're kind of atheistic almost in a point. You know, I just don't think God will do it for me. He might bless that brother or that sister, but he's not going to bless me. So we really can't point a finger at these people and say, how could they not understand? Jesus said, the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter. Well, we all know Peter denied him. The disciples had been proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with Jesus on the triumphal entry. After he fed the 5,000 and said everybody wanted to make him a king, boy, they were right there beside him. Yeah. When they came into Jerusalem, he was riding the donkey. It said the disciples were shouting praises, testifying about all the things they'd seen Jesus do. They were caught up in the moment, and they were on his side. And when he told them at the supper, I am going to die, every one of those men said, we'll die with you. All for one and one for all. Lord, if you're going to die, we'll die. You know why they said that? Because they really didn't think he's going to die. You ever said, if God ever calls me to go to the mission field, I'll go. You know why most of us say that? Because we don't believe he's going to call us to go to the mission field. I'm just being honest about it. We just, God ain't going to call me to go over there. Well, what if he does? Well, I'll go. And maybe for several years he's been working on you about some kind of ministry, and you keep going, nah. No, no, that's not me. God wouldn't do that. Well, how do you know? Peter denied knowing the Lord, and the angel put that in there on purpose. He didn't call Peter a disciple. You catch that? Peter, for that instant, had forfeited his discipleship. He became an outsider for that moment. Peter knew it. I believe if that angel hadn't said, and Peter, Peter may not have tried to show up. But we know that Jesus appeared to him and reinstated him. So what did these people do? When the angel told them Jesus is risen, they didn't believe it. When two angels told them Jesus is alive, they were a little more convinced. The women, when they were leaving the second time, they met Jesus. And it said, Jesus said, greetings. And they all fell down and grabbed him by the feet. We lost you one time, man. We ain't going to lose you again. And I love what he says in John. That's my favorite passage of the resurrection. He says, go and tell my brothers that I am ascending to their God and to my Father and to their Father. That's what he came to do. Religion can't do that. Being a good person can't do that. Giving money won't do it. You can come to church every time the doors are open, and if you've never realized that you're a sinner and need to be saved by Jesus Christ, you can't call God Father. You can, but you're lying. And the Bible bears that out. God doesn't call you son. I heard a newscaster one time talking about gay rights, and he said, after all, we're all God's children. I said, yeah, what a convenient time to grab that phrase. But he's wrong. There were Jews who believed in Jesus in John chapter 5 when he was preaching. And he said, if you'll continue in my word, then you are my disciples. They got to arguing with him. You know what? Jesus called them children of the devil. But they believed in him. He said, you're children of the devil. So see, just believing in Jesus isn't enough. How has it changed your life? Does Jesus Christ live on the inside of you? Are you a different person than you were when you came to Christ? If the answer is no, you need to come to Christ. Because just merely a head belief is not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. You're not a child of God. And there's only two choices. You're either a son of God or a son of Satan. I didn't say that. Jesus did. There's too many people today trying to claim to be Christians that aren't. What I'm saying is they have never acknowledged their need for a Savior. These people believed in Jesus as Messiah, but they didn't think Messiah was supposed to die. They were so convinced that they refused to believe it until Jesus himself appeared to them. Thomas fell at his feet and said, my Lord, my God. Jesus said, Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. He said, more blessed are the ones that's never seen me yet believe. So if you're here this morning and you are a child of God in Jesus Christ, you're more blessed than Thomas. He was one of the 12. I didn't say that. Jesus did. How many of you have ever seen him face to face? I hope you don't raise your hand, because if you do, I want to talk to you after the service. I haven't either, but do I believe in him? Just as much as I believe in Dr. Mark or Brother Gary or Brother Wayne, you bet I believe in him. He's just as real to me. How do I know that he's in me? Because he's changed my life so dramatically. One lady at a Baptist church I attended said, "You was such a radical dude, Jesus had to change you radically." Well, yeah, I like that. But I'm not perfect. I'm a child of God. I am a son of God, not the son, but I am one of God's sons, but I'm not perfect yet. He still works with me. Jesus, when he finally came, he rebuked him first. Then he ate, because so they still wasn't sure if he was a spirit or flesh and bone, and so he ate. And then he gave him what we call the Great Commission. Now, Mark words it a little different. He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever does not believe shall be condemned." I remember a good friend of mine and his mother, they were Baptists, and we were talking about this passage, and she said, "Well, you don't have to be baptized to be a Christian." I said, "Jesus said you did." "Well, Jesus, that's not what Jesus meant." "Well, it's in the Word." "Yeah, but that's not what Jesus meant. You know, we believe you're baptized to become a member of the church." "Well, you can believe in the Easter Bunny, but it doesn't make it so." Seriously. Jesus said, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." Baptism is part of it. And there's people that, to this day, I helped baptize a couple in the Nazarene church, said they've been Christians for 7 years and never been baptized. And I asked the dad, I said, "Why?" He said, "Nobody ever preached it like you did." Not bragging on me, but I did a sermon on baptism. He said, "Rick, I never heard that before." And he said, "My heart was convicted that I needed to be immersed. I've never been immersed." It says they went out and they preached the gospel with signs accompanying them. I figured it'd make some of y'all a little nervous since I talked about speaking in tongues and taking up snakes. I ain't going to take a snake up unless God himself hands it to me. I watched a documentary on a snake handling church, and I told my wife they'd think I was demon-possessed if they turned around and tried to hand me a snake, because I'd kill it and I'd try to kill the guy that handed it to me. You know, I'm like Wendy Bagwell. That lady said, "You wouldn't pick up a serpent if the Lord told you to." He said, "Yes, ma'am, I would, but he hasn't and I ain't." And that's the way I feel about it. But did you notice when Jesus was raised from the dead, he didn't say, "Guys, kick back, take it easy." He said, "Now you go, because I'm going back to the Father." And he has equipped us with his Holy Spirit. He's given us his written word. And he says, "Now you go, and you preach the gospel." He didn't say preach current events. He said, "You preach the gospel. Preach the word." You can never go wrong, young people, if you stay with the word. When you're witnessing, if you're witnessing to a friend at school and they're ridiculing you, stick to the word. Don't get caught up in godless arguments. Just say the word says. And do what Jesus did. Walk away and leave them standing there talking to themselves if you have to. Always use the word. The Apostle Paul declared that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power in the spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. What are you doing with it? How has it changed your life? What are you doing for the risen Savior? I know I quit preaching, went to meddling. Yeah. Jesus has called every one of us to minister. I'm a minister. And a lot of people around town know that now, and they'll say, "Yeah, I know you're a preacher or you're a minister." Yeah, but I'm not the only minister in this town. I'm looking at a whole room full of ministers. Every one of us has been called to minister in the name of Jesus Christ. It might be by giving somebody a cold cup of water in Jesus' name. It might be in a prayer ministry. It might be going and helping your neighbor clean their house. That's ministry. Sitting with the sick. Jesus said to the sheep and the goats, "I was in prison, and you didn't come see me. I was sick, and you didn't come and minister to me." "Well, Lord, we sent you a card." You know, that's the attitude. "Well, we sent him a card. And I don't want to go to prison. I don't want to associate with anybody that's been in the joint." "What was you in for, Jesus?" You know, I'm sure there's going to be somebody going, "Well, why was you, what was you in prison for?" "I have a friend in Leavenworth," you know. Jesus is going to say, "Oh, When you didn't do it to one of these, you didn't do it to me. See, we're called to minister in the name of Jesus Christ, not to sit around and be doctrinally correct. That's what most Christians, we think we just got to sit around and be doctrinally right. We're the frozen chosen. You know, the chosen few, us four no more. We're just sitting here waiting to go to heaven because nobody else is going. That's not what Jesus said. He said, now that you believe, go out and make believers of other people by your testimony, by the way you live. Would you stand with me this morning? The empty tomb is the greatest news, I believe, that we can give to mankind. He shed His blood on the cross for our sins so we may be forgiven. The tomb is empty, and Paul says now we're justified by His resurrection. Praise God. If you're here this morning and you've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ, well, we ask you to do it today before you leave. If you've never been baptized, but you say, well, I'm a believer, but I've never been immersed, we invite you to come forward and be immersed. The baptismal's full. We got some shorts and stuff back there you can change into. But I'll leave that between you and the Holy Spirit as we sing the song of invitation.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me
mention that or not. That gives everybody a chance to go home, spend time with your families. I do have a couple prayer requests that was handed to me, written out. Loretta, Wilma Davis' sister Loretta, she's been having us pray for her. They said she's not doing well and they don't expect her to make it. So Wilma's asking for prayer for her and her sister. And Dave Collins lives here in Mansfield. His longtime girlfriend died the other night. And I'm asking you to be praying for Dave. They said he's taking it pretty rough. Are there any other requests that you want to make known to the body? All right. Well, Brother Joe, would you say the closing prayer for us? Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't see you. Okay. Maxine has a friend she's asked us to pray about. She evidently was picked on in church a lot when she's younger, so she doesn't want to go to church anymore. Okay. All right. So she doesn't go around church because of anxiety. So just be praying for her. We don't need to know her name. God knows who it is. Brother Wayne.